There you go.
WAIFFM is a community radio station that serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect our own views or the views of our guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati.
Isn't WAIF great? You hit the button, you start talking, and nothing happens. You gotta hit that button extra hard to make sure all the transistors click against one another. So that's what we got going on here. It's the Chris and Rob Show, so stay tuned. You'll be entertained.
You stick out your little hand to every woman, kid, and man, and you shake it up and down. How'd you do? How'd you do? And you shake it up and down. How'd you do? How'd you, how'd you, how'd you, how'd you? Doosey doodle, doosey do. Heed you, hide you, hold you, how'd you, how'd you do? When I walk in our door, you come patter across the floor, and you shake it up and down. How'd you do? How'd you do? And you shake it up and down. How'd you do? On my sidewalk and my street, everybody that we meet, you shake it up and down. How'd you do? How'd you do? How'd you do? Do-sa-do, do-sa-do. And when you jump up out of bed, out the window goes your head, and you shake it up and down. How'd you do? How'd you do? And you shake it up and down. How'd you do? I feel glad when you feel good, you cheer up my neighborhood, shaking hands with everybody. How'd you do? How'd you do? Shaking hands with everybody. How'd you do? How'd you, how'd you, how'd you, hold you, how'd you do, so doodle do. Heed you, hide you, hold you, how'd you, how'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you, hide you, hold you, how'd you, how'd you do.
Well, good evening there, Cincinnati. I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is the Gooch and Buckskin Late Night Talk
Radio
Show.
Radio Roundup, Ponsarn. You, it's the Radio Roundup.
This is the Gooch and Buckskin Radio Roundup. You can give us a call here on the telephone. The phone number, what's the phone number there, Buckskin?
It'd be 749 there, Gooch. Then you gotta follow that up with a 1-fur-fur-fur.
That's a 749 or 1-fur-fur-fur if you want to give a call to the Gooch and Buckskin Radio Roundup. Now, our program starts this evening in Centerburg, Ohio, where Mindy Moore, and she likes to go square dancing. She needs more than a long skirt and a bonnet when she goes to the old square dancing there. She brings her tractor along, too. You know why she brings her tractor along, Robbie?
I'll tell you what, Gooch.
What's that?
That'll put the shine right on your spurs and put the knots in your lariat.
It sure do.
Well, old Mindy, she goes a square dancing. And she takes along her tractor, her John Deere.
Does she need a tractor for when she goes square dancing?
Well, you know, some of you folks, you like to go out there and you like to dance with the people. That's most of the people, but you know, like the good Lord said, it takes all kinds to make the world go round. But what old Mindy up there in Ohio likes to do is she likes to do-si-do with tractors. She likes to square dance with him consarn tractor.
Now, how can you dance with a tractor? You can't even put your arms around a tractor.
I don't know. I tell you what, that sounds harder than a gourd to do, but she manages to do it. It's Mindy, her old man named Ed Moore.
Moore and Mindy Moore.
They like to go out tractor dancing, and they move them around in some sort of synchronized motions.
Hold on there a minute, Buckskin. I think what you're trying to tell me is Mindy Moore, she doesn't dance with a tractor. She gets in her tractor, and a whole bunch of other folks get in their tractors, and the tractors do the dancing. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, it's kind of like a ballet, I guess you could say, is what it's most nearly like.
A tractor ballet?
It's like a tractor ballet.
Do they have a tractor nutcracker? Because, you know, around the festive holiday season, there's nothing I like more than getting all grandma and the kids and the nephews and the nieces and going down there to that stodgy music hall and seeing that there, what do they call it, the nutcracker. That's such a cute story.
I tell you what, if you ever need a nutcracker, you just visit old Clem, my mule. And he'll take care of them. You know what I'm a-saying.
I think I know what you're saying, but I'm not going to repeat it right here on this radio. If you want to give a call to the Gooch and Buckskin Radio Round. roundup, you can call 749-1444. Those are the digits you need to get in on this.
See, what they do is they get out there and they dance around it, you know, driving their tractors forward and backwards, forward and backwards. They do it at county fairs. They do it at church socials. They do it at mixers. They'll do it at the Sadie Hawkins dance. They'll do it at the Rattlesnake Roundup. They'll do it all over the place.
What's a rattlesnake roundup there, Buckskin?
That's just a big old party they like to have up there in Ohio. Now, the deal is...
That's one of them drinking things, isn't it? Got moonshine there at that, what do you call that, the Rattlesnake Roundup?
Well, I'm sure there's a feller or maybe a lady or two that likes a little nip or perhaps a pop when they're doing their tractor square dance, but I'm not going to slander anybody and say that they're a drinker when I don't know no better.
Hey, Buckskin, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead, Gooch. Anything you want to know, just go ahead and ask old Buckskin, and I'll be sure to square you out.
Does that seem a little weird to you, a bunch of folks getting in their tractors and having a little square dance?
Well, you know, it's like my old pappy used to say, don't go a-blaming the chickens when the hawks don't fly straight.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. That's like saying that dog there don't hunt.
Well, you know, the dog may hunt. Some people like to, you know, some people like to do square dance, ballet, tractors, and other folks, they like to go shooting in the woods, and other folks like to go a-fishing, and other folks like to go a-dancing, and I'm not a-going, you know, just because I cotton to something doesn't mean that you got to cotton to it and vice versa. You all kinds of people cotton to different things.
I understand. 749-1444 here to Gooch and Buckskin Radio Roundup.
But one thing that kind of bothers me about this tractor ballet up there in Kilbourne, Ohio, is that they sometimes can't get enough women's to join in, because up in Ohio, the women tend to be soft and, well, they're a little bit spoiled, and they don't necessarily do all the work that the men folk do, and they don't necessarily...
All they do is sit around and watch Oprah up there in Ohio, don't they?
Well, maybe they do a little needlepoint, a little crochet.
Well, I think those women in Ohio have been watching way too much Oprah, way too much Montel, and way too much of that filthy Jerry Springer.
But I did hear tell of one old boy, he married a girl from Ohio, and she couldn't even darn his socks.
Hey, Buckskin, you know what you call a dog with no legs?
What?
It don't matter. It ain't gonna come when you call it anyway.
I can't believe you said that.
You know where you find a dog with no legs?
You beat all. Where do you find a dog
with no legs? Right over where you left them.
What? I tell you what's the truth. I'd take you out back and where you at. You tell that kind of story. That ain't no right way to be acting on the radio. But sometimes...
Well, how should I be acting on the radio?
You should be acting like you got a lick of sense. I tell you what, you act like you've been playing in the freeway as a boy. Act like you've been kicked in the head when you're milking a cow. Sometimes they don't get enough women to show up for that because we were saying that women in Ohio, they kind of saw.
They just sit around and watch Oprah and fry up bacon and fry up eggs and fry it all up in the same pan even.
They can't darn a sock. They can't mend a fence.
Why would anybody put the bacon and the eggs in the same pan? Your eggs are going to get all greasy and brown.
That's the way I like them. You get that bacon flavor in
there.
You
are disgusting. Disgusting with a capital dig.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You are disgusting with a capital dig. Oh, you make me just want to vomit.
You're more loco than a prairie dog. Anyway, sometimes we'll dress up a guy like a girl, which now I don't cotton to that.
Well, you mean like that David Bowie?
When they run shorts of men of women folk, they'll dress a man folk up in a dress.
Well, that's not right the way the good Lord made it, is it?
Now, I tell you what. Now,
that's not the way the good Lord made the man and the woman to be.
Now, Milton Berle, he dressed up like a woman.
He's funny, but he still ain't right.
He was funny, but he was weird, too. That kind of made me, you know, I did not like that too much, seeing him dressed up like no woman. The thing is, there's a reason why men folk wear breeches and women folk wear... You know, dresses, skirts.
Let's just say it. Skirts and the high heels.
And women folk.
And that fishtail stocking, that fishtail, what do you call it? Fishnet stocking. And a fishtail boots and the fishnet stockings.
And women folk ain't supposed to be wearing no pants, no breeches.
Right on.
Except for Julie Newmar when she's wearing her Catwoman outfit.
Right.
And men folk ain't supposed to be wearing dresses with the exception of maybe Milton Berle.
You know, back really when I was old. A young and back in the 70s, I was watching that TV show there. They call it the Midnight Special.
Ooh.
You know, on the midnight special.
Shine a light on me.
Right, something like that. And they had this David Bowie guy on,
oh,
and he looked like a woman. A woman from another planet is what he looked like. I thought he was an alien.
These newfangled guys, they'll come out, and I tell you what's the truth. I was at the feed store the other day, and there was this boy up there, you know, and he was with this woman, and she had the longest dad burn, longest length of beautiful blonde hair you ever did see. And I was fixing to say, my, young feller, you sure are a lucky guy to be having the company of such a pleasing-looking young woman. But I'll be daggone if that burned woman turned around and she was a man. Some men folk nowadays have really long that burned hair. Tell you what's the truth. You know what's the truth?
What's the truth there,
Rob? We live in a big old wacky world.
It is a big old, kind of weird, perverted world, too.
You know, some folks, to cool themselves off, will go drink a nice cold Pepsi Cola. Or some folks will get them a beer, and I don't rightly hear to tell you one way or another which is better. But in the animal kingdom, they can't just go fetch themselves an ice cold beer or a Pepsi Cola or any of that stuff. They have other weird and odd ways of keeping themselves cool.
How is that?
Well, why don't we talk to an expert on this aforementioned topic on animals.
Did we already put to rest that whole business about the tractors having that square dance with those transvestites driving around in them?
Well, I don't cotton an old man wearing no dress. I don't care if he's trying to be a funny man on the Texaco Cavalcade of Stars or not.
Well, then let's just go right on ahead and talk to this fellow about the Turkey Vulture Festival out there in California. Hello there, Bob Barnes.
How you doing?
Okay, how you doing there, sir?
Great.
What is this Turkey Vulture Festival all about?
Well, you have your vultures that come to Hinckley, Ohio every year and get big publicity on national TV.
They are the biggest, nastiest dadburn critters you ever did lay your eyes on, Mr.
Oh,
Barnes.
Yeah.
Well, basically what it is we've got 30,000 of them, so it's the highest number that passes over a single spot in north of Mexico. So it's a good way to get people together for a big party for other purposes as well as looking at the vultures.
Now, where are you holding this party at?
This party's in Kernville. As a matter of fact, on tonight's Home Improvement that some of your people may have watched tonight, and I'm going to be seeing at 8 o'clock.
Some of our
time.
People? What are you saying about Appalachia?
And
you're one of those California guys, and you're already talking down to us like we're from Appalachia or something.
Home Improvement tonight's going to feature Kernville, which is where this Vulture Festival's held. It's Tim Allen's character is going to be taken on a rafting trip by his wife for his birthday, but I think it's already aired back where you are, and it's going to be coming on in 45 minutes out here.
Well, that's because everything gets to Ohio first, and then maybe it makes its way out west to California if we've gotten to send it out that way.
So it's the Southern Sierra Nevada, about 50 miles northeast of Bakersfield. Sequoia National Forest is where this festival takes place.
Bakersfield is where Merle Haggard's from, isn't it?
Buck Owens.
You got it.
Oh, yeah, I got that Crystal Palace there, and every Saturday
Palace,
night, Buck
Crystal
Owens
Palace.
Gives a concert, and you can go see him play.
Right, and I was actually just down there last night seeing Joe Cocker in concert at the Fox Theater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He don't pick and grin like Buck Owens, though.
No, he did a good show, though.
He's one of them weirdos from across the ocean, ain't he?
Yeah, he's from England. You got it.
Now, what in the world's a turkey vulture, and how does that differentiate itself from your regular old, good old-fashioned American vulture?
There you go. It's the same thing. Oh. We've got three in the U.S. We've got turkey vultures that are all the way across. We got the black vulture, which is a lot in the southeast, and then probably the most famous vulture of all is the California condor, which is, you know,
big
the only
giant.
Ones around the wild now have been placed there.
What I like about a vulture is it has a really bald head, so he can stick that old head right up inside the guts of a rotten deer, or a possum, or a coon, or a hound, or a kitty, or a field mouse, or a bison, or a cow, or a coyote, or whatever it might be right there. He can stick his old bald head right up in the rib cage and just bite him off a big old hunk of food and come out, and he doesn't have that stuff all glopped up in his hair.
You got it.
Now tell us a little bit, Bob Barnes, about turkey vultures and how they defend themselves in the wild.
Well, as you may already know, their main way of defending themselves is to use a indiscreet term, they barf over. If they are disturbed by a human or some predator, they will literally throw up on them.
You mean projectile vomiting?
There you go. You got it.
Now, does it have to have a big dinner before it gets in a fight, if you know what I'm saying? Like, has this turkey been hanging out at, like, the chili place or the Gold Star Chili or the White Castle, and then it gets into a fight with, like, say, what's a turkey vulture getting a fight with anyway?
Bobcat?
I have never seen that. I've never seen the regurgitation process, but I understand that people that handle injured ones, that often that's the tactic that they use. They regurgitate all over the person.
Mr. Barnes, it would just seem to me, with all due respect, sir, that if you make your living eating dead critters off the freeway, just your dad-burned breath would be enough to keep the people away from bothering you.
I would imagine that that would be part of the experience that I personally would not want to have to face.
Now, what happens if a dad-burned turkey vulture, he's out there on Highway 101, and he's eating a freshly killed wolf, and he starts getting a little bit hot. How would that turkey vulture then commence to cool himself?
Well, basically, they do take baths. They will find, you know, puddles of water and rocks and things like that to cool off.
Okay, good.
In the morning, they'll stretch their wings out, but not so much to cool off, but to dry off, so that they can take advantage of the thermals that they ride to lift high into the air.
There's not another way. I was kind of setting you up there, Bob.
Down on the roadside, of course, they don't wait for a thermal to come along. They just use that wing power. But so that their whatever they eat is used to greatest effect. They try, and they're experts at finding thermals. As I understand it, in Africa, the world record for a glider airplane was a glider who followed a vulture flock and stayed up, I think it was for 8 hours. So they are experts at finding heat thermals that'll keep them up in the air and lift them up.
But wasn't there another way they keep cool? How do they cool themselves personally?
Boy, it sounds like you've done the research and maybe know the answer. I don't know.
We're setting you up, though, Bob Barnes, because you're the expert and we want to make you look good.
You set me up perfectly in revealing that even the state director of bird conservation for Audubon, California has a big streak of ignorance in them.
I heard that these turkey vultures, when they get hot and they can't find no pothole to clean themselves off in or nothing, they just go ahead and they just defecate all over their legs and they let it evaporate off.
There you go.
Is that true?
That sounds okay, but I have not read that.
You said that on National Public Radio this morning, young man.
Oh, now that was probably my friend Reed, because he's also out at the preserve.
Well, you might want to check and see if that Reed's got something stashed under his desk that he's smoking around lunchtime, if you know what I'm saying.
There you go. I tell you, you know, Reed's a character, and he could withhold some mighty important information from me, including the fact that vultures defecate on themselves to keep cool.
That's what he said on that. And that National Public Radio is certainly a respectable form of broadcasting. Ain't it?
I don't know. I personally did not listen to that, but I do know that Reed does, but I don't think he caught that one, though.
All right, Bob, what's your favorite Buck Owen song?
Oh, God, don't hit me with that one. I don't know.
All right, we'll let you go then.
Okay.
So when's the big festival?
Pardon me?
When's the big festival in Case Vacation?
It's next weekend, but we hold it every year the last weekend in September. Kernville, California. KernvilleChamber.Lightspeed.net. I mean, at Lightspeed.net for information.
Why's the town got that name? Do you grow a lot of that out there? A lot of kern?
No,
kern,
I don't know.
Beans.
Named after one of the early explorers.
Jimmy Kern. Jimmy right. Crack Kern.
Thank you,
Jimmy
Bob Barnes.
Hey, thank you.
Later. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
So if you're out in California and you want to go to Turkey Vulture Festival, get out there now. It's next weekend.
I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is the Radio Roundup. You can give us a jingle here at 7-4-9-1-4-4-4-4. And I'm going to say that phone number one more time so you feel like calling in. It's 7-4-9-1-4-4-4. We're talking about everything that matters to you. And have you heard about this that's happened in Boise, Idaho? Have you ever heard of James Greitz? They also call him Bo Greitz.
Bo.
He's a former Green Beret colonel. He's a patriot and a hero. And he's a leader of what they call the right-wing patriot movement, but I call it the right-down-the-middle patriot movement, because they got it going on. He was found... What's that?
I mean, dang God.
What was that?
That's them old Vittles coming back and talking to me.
That wasn't that moonshine, was it?
No.
I thought for a second there you were a turkey vulture,
dude,
and you were mad at me.
You don't accuse me of nothing you accuse yourself of.
Okay. Okay, on Thursday, here's what happened, right? Thursday, Bo Greitz, he's hanging around his apartment or his house or his cabin or his log cabin or wherever it is he lives. Out there in old Boise, Idaho.
Probably a compound.
You think he was like
he seems like a compound dweller.
Okay, so Bo writes he's hanging out there. He's, you know, saluting the flag and stuff, and he was found out he had an apparently self-inflicted gunshot wound after falling into despair over his pending divorce.
Well, now we know that Bo is a strong man, but, you know, even the strongest tree can wither and die if the roots are not properly attended to with the love and the care that all strong creatures on God's earth needs.
So evidently what happens is Bo Grites, he decides he's going to go on off to North Carolina on a hunting expedition to find this alleged abortion clinic bomber, Eric Rudolph, right?
Yep.
Who's wanted from the law. He's a fugitive from justice, and he's running around the woods there in North Carolina, hiding from the FBI, who wanted to arrest him and stuff. And
he'd like to settle down, but they won't let him, because a fugitive must be a rolling stone.
So Bo Grites, he takes over the job. He says, what, 100,000 of you FBI men I can do with three of my best friends? He heads on down there to North Carolina. And evidently, his third wife, Mrs. Bo Grites, had been upset by his decision to leave and to go down to North Carolina, so she left him. And she left him in despair and in depression and in all those other things that make a man weak. Lack of poontang, if you ask me.
I tell you what, that'll do it. PR.
And therefore, Bo Grites shot himself in the foot or something else. Investigators are not saying exactly what the wound is, but that it is not life-threatening. So, if it's not life-threatening, and we all know Bo Grites is a strong individual, he's a strong man, and he's a good shot, why would he shoot himself not to kill? I thought he would always shoot to kill.
Government conspiracy and cover-up, but
must
I don't want to say
must
that.
Must be a cover-up, because Bo Grites would never shoot himself.
I
bet you somebody from the FBI or the CIA or some other federal agency, the ATF or the DEA, came into his compound there and
now
shot
you're
him.
Telling stories like
they
it.
Probably missed. Probably tried to shoot him, assassination attempt.
They probably
missed. And just they probably grazed him.
You just telling the story, and you just making up stuff.
I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is a radio roundup. 749er, 1444 is the phone number here, and you're not listening to Wobo, you're listening to Waif. That's WAIF, 749er, 1444. That's the bottom of your dial.
Well, that does bring up a good point there.
This ought to be good, Buckskin.
Listen now.
What?
You ladies out there, you need to take care of your fellers. You need understand
uh-huh.
your men.
Amen.
Because I remember years and years and years ago, every year, about this time actually, I'd have to go on a roundup out to gather up the calves and make sure they were branded. And
you had to milk the cow too, and get a little cow milk.
Well, every once in a while. But we had to ride the range, you know, cross miles and miles of hard scrabble
Oklahoma
desert.
You had to fix your beans, you had to fix beans.
Well, we brought the chuck wagon out and we'd make some beans.
You put bacon in your beans?
Put some bacon and some bean ketchup, brown sugar.
Well,
usually molasses, not brown sugar, but some hard molasses and cathead biscuits. And every year we'd go out and, you know, we'd be gone for 2, sometimes 3 weeks. You know, we'd have to go and round up all the cattle and bring them in and make sure they were all fattened up before we drove them to Abilene and then on up to the slaughterhouses in Chicago. That's just a cowboy way of doing things.
Because, you know, a good steer is a fat, chubby steer.
And so I'd have to say to the missus, I'd say, listen, woman, I loves you. Use my woman's. But I tell you what, I got to go out there and I'm going to be gone 2, maybe 3 weeks. And I tell you what, you best be here waiting for me when I get back. And she'd get all misty-eyed and teary-eyed and start weeping big old crocodile tears. You know how women folk will do. Say, but I don't want you to go. I want you to stay here with me. And I'd say, listen, woman, I gots to do what a man's gots to do. And you gots to do what women folk gots to do. And that means you sit your butt down here. You do a little canning, you pickle a little pickle in eggs, some eggs, and some cucumber, do some pickling.
You were gone so long, she had time to make a quilt.
She make me a quilt, woman. The winter's going to be hot cold. And when that hot
What was each little square? Did each little square have a little, like, picture
a
of a house?
Different
or picture of a puppy dog? A different state.
Different state.
I forget, you probably had one for Iowa, one for Nebraska, and one for Maine.
One for Alabama, and Alaska, and Arkansas. And even one for Puerto Rico.
Oh, they had one for Puerto Rico?
We had one for Puerto Rico.
They're having a big hurricane down there in Puerto Rico right now.
Our prayers go out to our Puerto Rican brothers about
that's
this.
That's right. We want everything to be good in Puerto Rico so we can get some more right-handed and left-handed pitchers from down there.
The point being, men's got to do what men's got to do. Women folk got to do what women folks got to do. And if you're a man, listen to me, women.
Hey, you know what the number one export of Puerto Rico is?
What?
Shortstops.
Listen, if you're a man, whether or not he has to go ride the range for 3 weeks gathering steer, or whether or not your man has to go traipsing through the woods looking for an abortion clinic bomber, a man still has to do what a man has to do. And you women folk, you got to understand your man. Like Johnny Cash said, understand your man.
I thought Johnny Cash said I shot a man in Reno just to watch him
he
die.
He said a lot of stuff. He's been around for quite a while, and he said a lot of things.
Did he ever say, I'm Gooch?
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is a radio roundup. The phone number is 749-er-1-fur-fur-fur, and lines are open for your calls. 749-er-1-fur-fur-fur. And you know what you're doing on Saturday morning at 6 a.m.? You're milking the cow. You're greasing up the old tractor, the old John Deere, getting it ready for a hard day's work. And you're listening to Bluegrass from the hills of Frogtown right here with your host, Mike.
Mike?
His name is Mike. He plays the best of bluegrass, some old, some new, and some gospel, too. Praise the Lord! Hear the latest of nationally known and local acts. The Frogtown Bluegrass likes to have call-in requests. So if you want to hear some Flattened Scruggs or some of the, what's that other guy called?
Bill Monroe.
That banjo player? Yeah, if you want to hear Bill Monroe, you just call on in. They don't play any Mel Tillis, but they might. You just give a call here to the Bluegrass from the hills of Frogtown that Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 88.3 FM, the bottom of your dial. You can't go no lower than us.
But Bill Wills is still the king.
Oh, he's the king
it
of the morning.
It don't matter. He play all them newfangled Bill Monroe characters they want.
Oh, yeah.
But Bill Wills is still...
He is. But anyhow, you got the bluegrass right here on the wafer, and you got traditional bluegrass every Saturday morning from 8 to 11, right after bluegrass from the hills of Frogtown with Cutting the Grass.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Dale will feature acts like Bill Monroe, the Stanley Brothers, Jimmy Martin, the Osborne Brothers, and that very little-known bluegrass act from the 50s from when me and Buckskin here were little tykes, and it was called the Gooch and Buckskin Banjo Combination. And they were a hot bluegrass band. You might hear that, too. That's Saturday morning, 8 a.m., so it looks like from 6 a.m. until 11 a.m., you can milk every cow in the barn in that amount of time. So check it out every Saturday morning right here on the Mother WAIF.
I remember last year when we went out on the picking up the cows and doing all that work. And, well, after the 2-3 weeks went by, you know, we all ready to head back to the town to see our wives and to see our families, our daughters and sons and Ma and Pa and grannies and grampies and take care of the kin folks and see them all. But before you go back, you know, to your family, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Well, I've heard that before.
And,
you know what else I've heard before?
What?
I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is a radio roundup. 749-er-1-fur-fur-fur.
So anyways, one old boy out there, we called him, oh, what the heck was that guy? We called him Two Horns. Anyway, old Double Horns, he went out there because he had a big old Cadillac, you know, and it had the big giant horns in the front of it. And he also had two horns on his car.
He was kind of a horny fellow.
He said, well, you said it, not me. I tell you, you beat all. Well, anyway, you beat all.
Well, I thought you said.
You know darn good and well what I said.
I thought you said I beat all.
Listen.
You can't say that on the radio.
Well, anyway, we'll just call the guy Billy.
Billy?
One day, you know, Billy, also, besides a big old Cadillac, Billy had himself one of them fancy schmancy big old Harley Davidson motorcycles.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Do you have tattoos?
He had the tattoos of leather, but he was kind of like a biker cow.
What did his tattoo say?
It said, I love cows.
That's pretty cool. I guess that's straight into the point, huh?
And the other arm said, cows love me. So anyway, after we get off the range, we go bursting into Abilene, and we pull up to this little old honky-tonk night spot. And I don't know what got into Jimmy, but he rides his consarn motorcycle right up through the front door. Right up through the front door. Can you believe it?
I can't believe that.
I can't believe that either, but he did. He went right through the front door. He just hopped off his motorcycle and threw it straight down. He then went over to the bar and punched a guy in the face and drank the guy's beer. He then turned to the other guy gave him a big elbow to the face and drank that guy's shot of whiskey. He then went across the bar, found a guy sitting at a table with a girl. He kicked that guy in the head. He took that girl over back by the pool table, and he commenced to making love to that woman right there on the pool table. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that.
Well, he did. He commenced to doing it with that young filly right there on the pool table.
Was anybody playing?
Well, it didn't matter. He didn't care.
So he might have interrupted somebody's game.
Well, he wasn't. He was kind of a rude fella.
You can't do that.
I never said
if somebody's playing a game, you can't interrupt until somebody knocks in the eight ball or knocks on all the solids or all the stripes.
So anyway, you know, he's doing it with this young lady.
Was he playing slop?
He was slop. And finally, he's there with that young lady on the pool table, and this old boy comes over to me and says, I tell you what, your friend is something there. Does he always do that? And I said, no, usually he uses a kickstand.
Yeah. I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is a radio roundup. Radio. Phone number is 7-4-9-1-4-4-4. We're taking your calls. Lines are now open. So check it on out. Now, did you hear about this? Every now and then you hear about these things, but you don't ever think that they're true.
What?
But this is true, and it really happened.
What?
There was an 18-wheeler truck, and it dumped its load of nearly 50,000 pounds of chocolate and vanilla pudding on I-64 near Charleston, West Virginia. It just happened the other day.
I bet you were some happy bears and happy possums and happy coons and happy bobcats.
But up at the West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, probably the children weren't very happy because they had to go without pudding for probably a whole week, I bet.
Well, I thought that you made your pudding, you know, you just made it on your stove. I didn't know it came in a big old tanker truck.
Sometimes it come in a big old tanker truck.
There ain't no good pudding come in a big tanker truck.
The pudding truck overturned when no one was hurt, but it overturned because the driver lost control because he was trying to pass another vehicle. There ain't nothing worse in this whole dadburn world than a rude truck driver. You know what I'm saying? Come on back, 10-4, good buddy. Come on back.
Them truck drivers, they got to know. They're driving a big old giant truck. They got to take control. They got to take care. They can't be driving around like some concerned fool on their moped.
I heard that. Should we do the rest of tonight's radio roundup and CB language there, good buddy? Come on back. Come on back. I'll see you at the pickle park.
I tell you what, you've just shot your wad as far as CB lingo goes. I don't even pretend like you speak fluent
That's
CB.
That's right, because that might be a little too hardcore and a little too artistic for tonight's audience, if you know what I'm saying. Come on
pickle.
Back.
Well, okay, watch the pickle park.
The pickle park is where you go to park your 18-wheeler there when you want to take a old nap, you know, right there at the old pickle park. It's like a rest stop. They got vending machines. They might even have a shower and a place for you to go to the bathroom. And sometimes you got swings for the little ones.
Oh, you sound like a mud duck.
There's the chicken in the hen house. There's a chicken in the hen house.
What's that mean? What's a chicken?
I have no idea, but if there's a trucker tuned in tonight to know when there's a chicken in the hen house, come on back. Give us a jingle here at the Radio Roundup. I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
This is a Radio Roundup. 7-4-9-er. 1-fur-fur-fur.
It's a WAIF Cincinnati. We'll be here till about midnight. We'll be taking your call, 749-1444. Now, I got another word to all you truckers.
This ought to be good.
I was just going to remind them to drive safe and be a little considerate.
10-4, good buddy.
Because I remember, you know, the other day, you know, I was sitting there in traffic, and this big old truck came by and started blowing my car every which way. I didn't know which way was up. I thought I was going to land in Oz or something. This dadburn truck came by and blew it and blew it and blew it.
Did you have white line fever?
My dad was right. It was yellow lines. He was on the other side of dadburn road, and he blew my car so hard on my little Escort of love started shaking
You're,
back
you
and
drive
forth.
An Escort?
Well, it's a macho Escort.
What color is it?
It's demon red.
Red goes faster?
Red goes faster, and that's why I got it. You know, every horse I've ever had.
You call it the Red Escort of Death because it's an Escort? You can call it the Red Escort of Death.
No, I call it the Escort of Love.
Ooh, okay.
Back when I was little, I had me a red pony because that's what I wanted. I wanted a red pony. So Pappy got me a red pony, and I named him Thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt the pony?
And then when I got a little bit bigger, I got me a colt, and I named him Thunderbolt, because I weren't too creative in my younger days.
Thunderbolt the colt?
Well, I had Thunderbolt the Pony, then Thunderbolt the Colt. And then Thunderbolt the Colt grew up to be a big giant horse. And I never can forget, you know, he was such a happy young horse. He was such a proud young, literally, stud.
He was a stud? Just like me, his Uncle Gooch.
And I'll never forget that god-awful day when we had to wrap that wire around his scrotum and take away his manhood. I cried. And I said, "Oh, Thunderbolt, I'm sorry about that, but you was just too dad burned wild. We couldn't hardly break him. He bucked me off. He bucked my cousin Buck off. He was bucking all of us off, and we couldn't. He just had to be calmed down." So we heated that wire up.
Did he buck you?
He bucked me. That's how I got the name Buckskin.
Oh, okay.
Because he bucked me, and I skinned my knee real bad.
I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is the Radio Roundup on WAIF. They call it WAIF Radio. Sometimes they call it Stepchild Radio because you get it like WAIF, like a baby, like a stepchild, right? And the phone number here at the Radio Roundup is 749-1-FUR-FUR-FUR.
You know, that reminds me, you're talking about waifs and stepchildren and stuff. I remember one time, old Blue.
Have you got stepchildren?
Well, no, old Blue.
Who's old Blue?
You met old Blue, my blue tick dog.
Oh, old Blue.
Anyway, you know.
I shot old Blue once.
Well, you tell you what, you shoot a man's dog, you ask it just be put in the ground. Well, old Blue, maybe you didn't know that, but he was a waif. He was a unwanted child.
I thought he was a she and she was a bitch.
No, well, I don't know. And old Buckskin, old Blue, old Blue, you know, was an orphan there, little baby blue tick dog. And
was he?
Just as cute could be. And, well, you know, I love that dog, but it's caused me no source of heartache and pain. Because we found that little orphan Blue.
They passed some of that moonshine
out
over
the
here,
road.
And yeah, in the jar over
we
there.
We took him in, and we bundled him up, and we kept him warm. Well, it just so happens...
That's good stuff.
That Fluffy, my sister's cat, had a brand new litter.
You did not have no cat named Fluffy.
My sister did. You don't talk bad about my sister? You don't do it? I didn't think you would.
Well, I'm not going to talk bad about your sister.
You want to talk bad about my sister's cat?
No.
All right, then. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut, then?
Why do you have a cat named Fluffy?
My sister did.
Why don't you name it Sam like most people name their cats?
I can't help what my sister do. She's got a mind of her own. A sister's got to do what a sister's got
to
do.
So what you're trying to tell me is your sister has a pussy named Fluffy?
That's what I'm here to tell you.
Damn.
And she washes it with really nice perfume, and it gets real big and fluffy.
Really?
It's a big, giant Fluffy. And so anyway, we said, we'll just take this old blue tick dog puppy. He's just a little thing. Ain't no bigger than your thumb. And we let that dog get old, let it get raised up right proper like my Fluffy and them litter of kittens. And that's why I kept getting beat up in high school because my blue tick hound would meow. Everybody'd come over to the ranch and they'd say, "Hey, that's your dog?" I'd say, "Yeah. Come here, Blue." And Blue would go, "Meow." And then they'd beat me up. That's why I'm the man I am today.
I'm Gooch.
And I'm Buckskin.
And this is a Radio Roundup. The phone number is 749-1-FUR-FUR-FUR.
To find out if you are eligible for a compensation from the Oklahoma Victims of Crime Compensation Program, just call the toll-free hotline at 1-800-824-8263.
This is the Radio Roundup where they call me Gooch and he's Buckskin and the phone number is 749-1-FUR-FUR-FUR and this is my good friend and confidant, Cletus Maggard. Now what's the name of his band there?
Cletus Maggard and Citizens Band.
They call it the Citizens Band because they're a truck driver band. Cletus Maggard on the Radio Roundup. Come on back.
Good buddies these days, everybody and their little beavers getting themselves an old CB, and the only way to use it right is to get your license and learn the CB lingo. So here we go for a short course. Smokey Bear. Now that's them old boys what work for the state and drive them old high-powered machines. And if the machine's got the state's name on the side, it's a Tijuana taxi. Or then again, it may not have the state's name on the side, in which case it's a plain white wrapper, plain gray wrapper, plain green wrapper, or plain blue wrapper. And then they take your green stamps, which is your hard-earned money when they get you on the old picture taker, and that's what you call the old radar, otherwise known as taking Polaroid. That's when you're going more than double nickels. That's that old 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. And them same old boys will help you when you get yourself into a fender bender. That's a wreck. And they generally found around exit ranch medians and the nearest long hot cup of coffee and short note of the state police. County Mountie, same as old Smokey Bear, something they drive for the sheriff. Local yokel, same as old Smokey Bear and old County Mountie, something they drive for the mayor. Beavers, that's women. Seat covers, that's women. Women, that's women. Better half or XYL, that's women. Except in these is them ones what used to be the beaver and or seat cover, what you used to count every button on that Pirelli blouse she was wearing, and is now the mother of your youngins and the picture taker what checks you done retired from counting buttons on Pirelli blouses of other beavers and or seat covers. Cotton picker. Now that means your best buddy, your worst enemy, somebody you know, somebody you don't know, somebody you like, somebody you don't like, somebody you want to compliment, somebody you want to insult, somebody who done you a favor, somebody who done you wrong, or somebody who picks cotton. Break means I want to talk, boy. Go break means all right, boy, talk. 10:36. Now that's a call for the time of day, but don't just sit there and say, have at 10:36, cause all them CBers are no, you just got your set and ain't got nothing to say. Other expressions to avoid to keep from being known as an amateur are, break for a radio check. What's happening out there, good buddy? What you doing out there, good buddy? Somebody talk to me. Roger, we'll go and break for a truck. 10:20 is your location. Home 20, that's your 10:20 when you're home. Bubblegum machine. Hey, that's an old light on top of Smokey's car. Goes blue, 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 blue. Whips an antenna. A redneck whips a big, long antenna. Goes twangy, twangy, twangy all the time. Hammer down means I done going as fast as I can because I got the pedal to the metal. How's it look over your shoulder? Now, that's what you say to somebody going the way you ain't. It means what's back there where you done been. An 18-wheeler's a big rig. A 4-wheeler's anything with 4 wheels. Cars, baby carriages, anything. 2-wheelers are motorcycles and bicycles. A pick-em-up truck is a pickup truck. A thermos bottle is a tanker truck. A mobile parking lot is 18-wheeler that hauls 4-wheelers. And a van cotton picker is a van. Come on. Now that's what you say when you say what you want to say and you want somebody to say something back to you. Come on, back on that means I wish you'd say that again because I don't know what you're talking about. Getting stepped on. Now that's where there's too many cotton pickers on the channel and everybody's talking at the same time. You can't understand nobody. It's a mess of noise. Modulating and jawjacking is a having a conversation. Handle. Now that's that old name that you pick out to call yourself on the channel, SN.
My handle is the whatnot.
10-4 means I read you, I agree. If you say so, I think so, I know so. If you say so, I'm with you. You done took the words right out of my mouth. Ain't that something? Maybe definitely affirmative. Yes, sir, yes, indeed. You said it, boy. Hey, 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 never witch. 4-10 and 10-Roger are alternatives to 10-4 on such occasions that 10-4 do not seem to capture the complete meaning of what you was trying to say. Negatory is the opposite of all of the above in short, no. A short is the opposite of a long. Now, here's a big one that I left for towards the last because it's one of the most important you'll ever use, I guarantee you. Mercy Day, under all circumstances, means Mercy Day. We gonna back it on out. That's a way of saying so long, I'm gonna quit talking, I'll see you later. Keep it between the ditches, that means the same. Catch on the flip-flop, that means the same. Sevens and threes and all them good numbers to you, that means the same. Eights and sixes and all them good numbers to you, that means the same. You have yourself a good day today and a better day tomorrow, that means the same. Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down, that means the same. We down and gone, that means the same. We catch you later, that means the same. As a matter of fact, you can use all of the above together or one at a time. So we gonna back it on out. You keep it between the ditches. Sevens and threes and all them good numbers to you. Eights and sixes and all them good numbers to you. You have yourself a good day today and a better day tomorrow. Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. We definitely down and gone. We catch you later for sure. Now go, breakers!
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And this is the Chris and Rob Show. 749-1444 is the phone number. And there's a lot going on in there to talk about tonight, Rob. We got a big show planned for this evening, so let's get right into it. We're going to start things off with our very own political pundit. CNN has one. NBC has one. What's the guy's name on NBC? Is that John Stossel? Is he a political pundit?
NBC political pundit?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, NBC? Oh, that's that Russert, dude.
What
Tim Russert.
What about ABC? Does ABC have a political pundit?
ABC's got George Will and Cokie.
Who's got Brinkley? Who's Brinkley?
Brinkley retired from ABC.
But isn't he a political pundit?
He certainly was.
And since George Stephanopoulos can't get work anymore, he's a political pundit for somebody.
Yeah, I think he's on ABC as well.
Yeah. So this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we've got our own political pundit from the South Shore of the mighty Lake Erie. We have Democrat Christopher Redfern. He's not only the county commissioner of Ottawa County, where the county seat is what, Put-in Bay?
That's right.
Yeah, but he's also the political pundit here on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And Chris, you're here tonight to talk to us a little bit about the videotaped deposition that President Clinton gave about a month and a half ago to Ken Starr's grand jury, and it's now become public. It was on TV all day yesterday.
That's right.
And when it was over, all stations, the radio and TV stations started to replay it all over again.
Right. Right. I watched the whole thing live.
A little overkill, do you think, there, Chris Redford?
Yeah, it's a little overkill. And what you noticed when they were playing it all afternoon and then into the night, and of course today, there were no sound bites. There was very little that they could bring out and tease you for 15 seconds. And what they could bring out was pretty boring, actually. This was a...
Well, what about all that about, did you touch her breast? Yeah, I touched her breast. What about all that?
But we all expected that. It was nothing more than the expected. There was nothing unexpected.
It gets you hot, though, doesn't it?
Well, you
start hearing about the cigar, and she's sticking a cigar in her, and she got this blue dress, and she never took it to the laundromat.
You know, really, it was only two sentences on the cigar. I didn't hear anything about the laundromat, but I did go into the kitchen to get a Diet Coke during the testimony, so I may have missed that.
Yeah, I was wondering if Diet Coke was not maybe the sponsor. You know how Reese's Pieces... No. Was part of that whole E.T. movie.
He was sucking down those Diet Cokes and ginger ale, actually. Werner's ginger ale, like they were going out of style.
Was that a paid endorsement?
It could have been.
The guy's hooked on caffeine, isn't he?
Could have been. What you saw there was the president try to get set up by the Republican Party, and it backfired right in their face. The Democrats, as well as the White House, played it perfectly. White House knew what was on the videotape, obviously, with the president there and his attorneys. They played it perfectly. They objected to it throughout. They said it was going to hurt him. But of course, when it came out, the president appeared rational and calm. You know, this is a despicable act that he played upon the country and his wife and his child. But nonetheless, the question is it an impeachable crime? Certainly not an impeachable crime.
Chris Redfern, County Commissioner of Ottawa County, Ohio. Do you believe that the sale and distribution of candy cigarettes to today's youth encourages children to smoke real tobacco cigarettes later in life?
And I'm not surprised that Joe Dieters hasn't had a position on that in his brilliant run towards the state treasurer's race.
He ain't going to get it.
I hope not. But, yeah, I do think it does. And much like Big League Chew does for chewing tobacco. I remember being 8 or 9 years old and having to borrow money and go buy some Big League Chew and shove it in my cheek and watching the cavities fill and rot out.
Pretending you were Corey Snyder?
I bought some Red Man.
So now you're the only county commissioner in Ohio that has to have a spittoon nearby?
Besides those, yeah, that's it.
Oh, you're about to say something about the ones in the south part of Ohio, weren't you?
I was.
Weren't you, Big Shot? You were going to make fun of Athens or some of those counties over by West Virginia, weren't you?
You guys have heard most of 15 counties in southwest Ohio.
Just so you know, on the Chris and Rob Show, we don't make fun of Appalachians, all right?
No, we don't. Actually, this weekend, Reverend Jackson will be in Nelsonville, Ohio, to speak out on the underdevelopment of the Appalachian and the fact that in the whole country, Appalachia is the poorest of all, and they're ignored by our federal, in our case, state government.
This is the Chris and Rob Show. If you just tuned in, we're talking to our political pundit. Yeah, we got one, too, here at WAIF. Chris Redfern, he's a Democrat. He's from Lake Erie.
That's right. Port Clinton, Ohio is our county seat. Not Put-in Bay, but all of Put-in Bay is in the county. And you know who you ought to get for a guest sometime?
Hey, listen, dude.
Pat Daly.
Hey, listen. We don't come to the middle of the Put-in Bay, Ottawa County Commissioners meetings and tell you, hey, dude, you know what motion you should introduce? Hey, guy, you know what resolution you need to introduce?
Hey, dude, you need another retirement home in Oak Hills.
I tell you what you need to do.
Listen,
you need to get your listeners to call 419-734-4FUN, and they'll get the complimentary guide to fun in Ottawa County and Lake Erie.
Well, if somebody would like to call in and talk about the political issues that we're discussing now, the phone number here at the station to get in on this is 961-8900. Phone lines are open if you'd like to talk to Chris and Rob and our political pundit.
Yes, but Chris Redfern, don't you believe that with the multiple hand gestures that the president went through, crossing his hands in front of his face, and the fidgeting and the drinking the Coke, he was obviously squirming. He was obviously trying to cover up a lot.
Really?
He looked like... he looked like he should have been on a Kefauver commission. Well, I was surprised he didn't do anything but just show a close-up of his sweaty hands. He looked so guilty.
You ever appear in a deposition or grand jury before a grand jury?
No, because I've never lied in a civil case, thank you very much.
No, actually, in deposition, you merely can be a witness for a case, and you could be called before in a deposition. It has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. merely a way of getting information out of a witness, out of a defendant, out of a plaintiff. It has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. Now, in this case, it was a grand jury, and of course, as you know, an indictment, to come before a grand jury merely means that there is a preponderance of evidence that, that you should be there. Now, in the case of the president, of course, he was being videotaped over the objection of the attorneys representing the president because there was one individual sick from the grand jury. It was supposed to be a short, closed-circuit television link between the grand jurors and the White House several blocks away. But in this case, one juror was sick, so it was videotaped.
Well, then that's a different issue. I mean, we all know that President Clinton should have just marched his sorry butt down Pennsylvania Avenue, walked right into Ken Starr's office, and testified in front of everybody live.
And you brought that up as well. The president wanted to do that. His attorneys suggested that he did not. And in the case of the president not appearing before, I do think that he would have appeared much stronger had he been in front of the jurors. But, of course, the public would not have seen this testimony. And, unfortunately, for the Republicans, like your congressman down in Hamilton County who's going to go down to defeat, the president has come out on top because Americans have been shown in color television that this is nothing more than sex.
But you didn't think the president looked
bad judgment about sex.
You didn't think
an affair, and by its very definition, you lie about affairs. If you weren't lying, it wouldn't be an affair. You'd be a Mormon.
Oh my gosh! First you slam the Appalachians, and now the Mormons.
Very, very small constituent.
961-8900. This is the Chris and Rob Show.
But you didn't think the president looked like he was squirming. You didn't think he looked like Billy the Fish turning in Jimmy the Weasel or something like that?
I think he looked very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Much like Joe Dieters looks when he has to discuss state issues regarding the state treasurer's race. I think he looked uncomfortable.
For a guy from Ottawa County, which is about 200 miles away, you've got a lot of opinions about Hamilton County politics.
Well, here's a guy who's no more qualified to run for state office, especially state treasurer, than you or I, Chris.
Hey, dude, I took math in college. What's he going? I know. Well, what the hell's going on? All these offices are political. Doesn't any of these offices at the state level actually have anything to do with the department that they're the head of, or are they merely all stepping stones to the governorship?
No, I think the state auditor's office actually is one that's probably the most tied to something of that field because
he actually has to go around checking gas pumps.
That's right. Amazing.
What do you mean amazing?
No, in this case, the state auditor actually has to oversee the audit of all the municipalities, all the county governments, all the political subdivisions throughout the state of Ohio. Now, in the case of the treasurer, you have some de facto deputy treasurer running the office, and you're out there preparing yourself
for the run at the governor.
In the case of Dieters, it's going to be
he wants Betty Montgomery's job.
It's going to be 8 years. Well, Betty Montgomery's job, or in 8 years, he's going to run for governor.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 961-8900 if you'd like to talk to Rob or myself or to our political pundit who's discussing the issues that are eating at the minds of Americans. 961-8900.
I've had a chance to look at some polling data from the race down in Hamilton County. Well, actually, the district stretches a little more than Hamilton County, but the Shabbat race and Qualls race.
And you mean fuck this. Rock the so, mayor of Cincinnati.
Numbers I've seen show Roxanne Qualls leading.
You mean fuck that?
She's up by 9 points at this.
Hey, when you talk to her, do you tell her that?
No.
Okay. Hey, but
I refer to her as ma'am.
Listen.
Or yes, ma'am.
Chris Redfern, sure, president's approval rating is pretty healthy in the mid-60s from what I've seen.
Well, approval rating is president.
Approval rating is
job approval.
But I mean that's and that's the good news for the donkeys. But the bad news is you still have about 4 out of 10 Americans want to see the guy gone.
Right.
Which I think is pretty darn high because even the people who would say I disapprove of him, they wouldn't say he should be
high.
It's very high. That's like the same amount of people that voted for him want him not just not to be president anymore, but actually want people to be impeached.
No, I know that, and I accept that, and I don't mean to be speaking in defense of the president. That's not my That's not my...
Come on, Chris. You know how the media works. You come on the show and we put you in a position which you're not prepared to be in.
You're a Democrat. You're a talking head. You're going to toe the party line.
What I'm suggesting is, though, is that Americans, and perhaps you, Rob, I'm not sure about Chris because convicted felons aren't allowed to vote, but Americans knew that Jennifer Flowers was part of his past.
He admitted to it in that videotaped deposition, too.
And did we have any doubt that he had some dalliances in the past before he ran in 92 and then again in 96?
No, and does Hillary know about it? Has Hillary known about it since Clinton was the governor of Arkansas?
The majority of Americans voting in those two elections chose him to run, or chose him as their candidate for president.
Well, not necessarily majority,
just
more.
Just like you two know that you can separate your professional and private lives.
Oh, Rob and I do every Tuesday night.